Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man in Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of the wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons was Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left of her two sons and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab, and the name of one was Orpah, and the other was Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return into the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited the people in giving them bread. Therefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughter-in-laws with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to your mother's house, and the Lord deal kind with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. And the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return unto you, unto thy people, rather, return with you to thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters, we will go, you will, go. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have a hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieves me much for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back to her people, and unto her gods. Return you after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave you or to return from following after you. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where you lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do to me, and more also, if aught but death part you from me. When she saw that she was steadfast-minded to go with her, then she left speaking to her. So the two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. This is a very powerful little book. It has the complete gospel in it. Notice the first verse in this chapter. Back to the first verse. It says, It came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, and he and his wife and two sons. Now notice what was happening. What was happening? Huh? Well, the judges were ruling, and there was a famine in the land. Okay? Now, if we back up to the last verse of Judges, what does it say? The last verse in the book, just on it, should be on the same page, most of you. The last verse, verse 25 in chapter 21 of Judges, And there's those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Hello, that's what's going on today. That's what's going on today. People are saying, there's no king in Israel. And I'm talking about church folk. Because the church has put people under the law so bad that they can't stand it. See, they have got them bound up under the law so bad. And the people said, hey, this is not God. Okay? So everybody has cast off all restraints. And what have they done? They've done whatever's right in their own eyes. Is that not true? That's what's going on today. This isn't a historical book. There might be a historical content to this, but this is a book of reality of now. Can you understand that? This is what's going on now. This is why God gave it to us. This is what humanity has always done. There's a time when we have got to stop going where humanity goes and go where the Spirit of God leads. Revelation says there's 144,000 that follows the Lamb whithersoever He goes. It's not about where we desire to go and what we want. It's about what? What the Father wants. It's His will. It's not my will. So, He's going to show you a pattern in all this. That there's no king in Israel, and so everybody does what they want to do. Right? And then we go back to the first verse of the book of Ruth. And he says, it came to pass in those days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in land. What kind of famine do you think it was? Then it was talking about literal food, but spiritually it's saying what? It's the Word of God. See, there was no grain in the land. There was no bread in the land. So there was this great famine, and it's the same thing today. When everybody is doing what everybody wants to do in their own eyes, guess what? There's a famine in the land because there is no king in Israel. And we are Israel. And if there's no king sitting in us with a clear-cut view and a vision of what he wants to accomplish, then guess what? It's going to be just like that 25th verse there in the last book of Judges. Everybody's just going to do what they want. And then it's going to create a famine in the land. See, no matter how much I see the church do wrong, it doesn't make any difference to me. Because mama's done give me birth. And I'm not going to go back and dishonor my mother. See, she gave me birth. Leave her alone. If mother hadn't have been there, we'd have never had sons, would we? Leave mama alone. You hear me? Leave her alone. She is doing what she is put up here to be. She's being who she's supposed to be. Mama's not supposed to be the son. Okay? But I can take this into my life. And when I came to a birth, I was a baby. And then I become the church, the mama. And the mama had a relationship with the Christ in me. And I birthed the son. Okay? I'm not supposed to be going out wiping anybody out, am I? Doesn't the first commandment with promise say, honor thy father and thy... Whoa. Well, if that's spiritual, isn't that spiritual also? If everything else is spiritual? See, we've got to honor our mother and father. I'm not going to disrespect them, but I'm not going to agree with them in their wrong thinking. You see the difference? I can love them. I can disagree with my natural parents when they were alive. I can disagree with them because they weren't right. But that didn't mean I didn't love them and respect them, did it? If we think that to love someone, we have to agree with everything they say, we'll never be able to accomplish anything in life. Anything else, anybody we like or think we love, then they'll be telling us what to do. And that's not what God has in mind. We're supposed to put on the mind of Christ, not the mind of everybody else. True or false? Okay. So, in this day, when the judges ruled, there was a great famine in the land for the Word of God, right? And a certain man, and this certain man happens to be you or me, of Bethlehem, Judah. Bethlehem, the house of bread and Judah. Celebration. That talks about a place. These people were in a place where they had the Word of God and they had celebration. And guess what he did? Because there was a little famine in the land, what did he do? He packed up and ran back to the flesh, to Moab. Moab represents flesh. And isn't that what we naturally do? Every time a little opposition comes, what do? When God is trying to teach us in the famine to learn to seek ourselves, how to feed ourselves in these tough times, what do? We turn around and run right to Moab and reach back into the world and grab our flesh. We try to resurrect that old man and get our own natural strength right back out. True or false? Isn't that what we do? I'm speaking as humanity. Come on. That's what humanity does. So they went to sojourn, right? And literally that means to turn aside from the road. Wonder what road that might be. Jesus said, I am the what? That's the way to get there. That's the road. And see, they turned aside from the road because of a little opposition. Hey, a little opposition's good for you. Makes you find out what's inside of you, don't it? If life was a bed of roses and you tippy-toe through the tulips all day long, do you think you'd really change? But God putting the opposition in our life loves us so much that He'll put those things out there and make us stubber toe. He'll give us briars and thorns to walk in. And it'll toughen up my feet and I'll be able to walk the path that He walked. You think He had a pair of Air Jordans on when He walked that road? Huh? He probably wished He did in His flesh. But see, this morning, if Jesus had worn any shoe, it would have been a Nike, because Nike means victory in the Greek. He'd have been wearing Nikes for sure. Okay? So they turned away from the road into the country of what? Flesh. He went right back into the flesh. He, his wife, and these two sons. See? That's what happens with us. When we go to the flesh, we want to take everybody with us. We do. We want to take everybody with us. Why? Misery loves company. See? Every time opposition comes, what do? Rather than to deal with, let God deal with me in my heart, what do we want to do? Alice, do you know what they've done to me? And I want to get her right into the same wagon with me. And the next thing you know, she'll be saying, oh yeah, you know what? That person done something to me. And you know what? I know some other people did too. Hey, what about you, Emma? Who done you wrong? Can you get in on this one?
No.
See? But don't we all do this? Come on. And the next thing you know, we drag everybody right back into Moab. And you got that old stinking flesh flying everywhere. Oh, geez. Come on. Lord, help us. We got to stop this pattern of the natural man. We are not natural people. We're spiritual, supernatural people. And the natural thing is to run right back and say, hey, Alice. But the supernatural thing is to do just what you said this morning, bub. Be like a mute lamb and don't say nothing. And you know what? Great is your reward in heaven, because your Father hears all things and sees all things. Hey, just tie a knot in that thing. Don't speak it. Don't try to drag somebody else back into that pit with us. It's time we as a people began to go to the spiritual side of things instead of living out there in that fleshly stuff. We've got to stop it. And the name of this man, or the nature or character of this man, was Elimelech. Now he's telling you the name of this man, or the character or the nature of this man, is Elimelech. And guess what that means?
My God.
My God is king. And this is a man who says, my God is king, but Alice, do you know what he did to me? Huh? Is that a double-minded man? Come on. Is this what God's trying to teach us? To be double-minded? I think He's trying to separate us from this stuff. Come on. Isn't He? Single mind. Single mind. We've got to understand we can't play this. And says the nature of his wife was what? Naomi. What does that mean? Pleasant. Oh, my soul is pleasant. You know why? Because my soul, she strokes my ego. Yeah, I ask. You wouldn't believe what they do to me. That's what happens. And see, my soul gets in there and starts playing on me. See, my woman will do that to me. She agree with me. I'm not talking about my natural wife, because she won't. See, but my spiritual woman, my soul inside of me, will start feeling sorry for my man. And you know, everybody loves a pity party. Oh, when they start stroking, oh, God, that feels good. Oh, you know what? We just fall right in that trap. And look here, the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. You know what it literally means? Mahlon, sick. And pining away for Chilion, which is literally grief. And that's the only thing that my soul can produce when she starts stroking my ego. Sickness and grief to my spirit. She can't produce any good fruit. And we're supposed to produce good fruit. This is our purpose in life, that you bear much fruit. And we're not talking about poisonous, stinking berries. We're talking about good fruit, right? See, this is what God wants us to see. I'm going to get excited here in a minute. Just hang on. And they were both Ephrathites. What does that mean? They were from Ephraim, which is what?
Duality.
See? So everything my soul produces is what? Duality. We've got to come someplace where our eyes are opened to see what God is showing us. No longer do I want the duality. No longer will I be satisfied with close enough. We're not playing horseshoes here, are we? See, close is good in horseshoes, but it's not good enough in the kingdom of God. God is the God of perfection. Why do you think in the Old Testament he told Moses, see that you do it exactly the way I showed you in the mount? Why did he do it that way? Because if we change one jot or one tittle of the way that he shows us, then we're perverting the vision of Jesus Christ himself. We're perverting God himself. Can you understand that? We can't change anything, or we'll rearrange who God is. And that's what the church has done for years. From the very beginning, it says even in the Psalms that they tried to, in 77 or 78, it says, they tried to mark the Holy One of Israel. And literally that word mark means they tried to shape him the way they wanted him to. And today, you know, the Baptists has got their mark on Jesus, and Pentecostals and Catholics and everybody else and every denomination has got their mark, and they've shaped him the way that they believe he is. And ain't none of them right. God is a spirit, and you can't put a shape to that. All you can do is let the Spirit of God manifest in your life that nature and character of God, which is real in you. You can't fake it, because as soon as somebody steps on your toes, you're going to bite them like a serpent. And then we'll find out, Ephrathite. Got two of them there. See? Got a worm and a snake both. And they don't work, do they? It just don't work. God lets us see those two things. And when we are all starting out, we all have duality in our life. So don't no one feel condemnation. We all have duality. And God loves you so much, and we say this all the time, oh, God is faithful. Well, you know what? He is. But he's not just faithful in blessing you and all the good things. He's faithful in showing you your faults. And whenever you think you're just cruising along just great, he'll come by and trip you up.
That's when the fire comes.
He's going to trip you up. See, the only time you're going to really show what's in you is when it's least expected. When you think everything's just sailing, buddy, God's going to come along and rip your sail off. And you're going to say, oh, wait a minute, what'd you do that for? Whoop, that didn't sound like that mute lamb, did it? Huh. Didn't sound like that mute lamb. Why? Because there's a little bit of duality, a little Ephrathite in his shit. We need to remove this to where I don't respond to the natural things. And see, that's supernatural. It's natural to retaliate against somebody when they hurt you. It's natural. We're not natural people. We're a special people. We're not some weirdo peculiar like the King James says. It says, Lord, in language, we are special people. We're aliens. Aliens don't make sense to people that live in this world, do they? They don't know how to handle them. They don't understand their language. I'm not talking about tongues. I'm talking about talking the words of God, the spiritual words of God, the kingdom language. When you talk that, they don't understand you. You're an alien to them. And they came into the country of where?
Bethlehem, Judah.
No, they were from there, but they went to the land of the Canaan. Moab, which is flesh, and they did what? That word continued is literally remained. I mean, baby, they went to stay there. You know why? Because the flesh be comfortable. Oh, it's comfort zone, all right, see. No pressure's there. And that's what the church has deceived all the people that go there to thinking that that's where you're supposed to be. Get in a place where nothing bad ever happens. Well, excuse me, but when I read this book, from in the beginning to amen, every man and woman of God walked through pure hell. They were tormented. Read Hebrews chapter 11, where they were thrown to the wild animals. They were burned at the stake. They were crucified. Isaiah was put in a hollow tree, and they sawed the tree in two while he's looking them right in the eye, and they're sawing his guts in out. Now you tell me, is that a way to be exposed or a way to be condemned? When I go into this church world and they say, oh, nothing should happen to you now, you're a child of God. That's when it all starts. That's when it all starts. See, we just listen to that stuff and we'll get lulled right back into Moab with the rest of them. And see, that's where they want you, right back in Moab. I've got a couple of verses already. I'm doing pretty good. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left or bereaved, just left in her two sons. It's all left. And see, that's what's going to happen. What happened to this man? He was in a place called Bethlehem, Judah. A place with bread, the Word of God, and a celebration of life and resurrection. And guess what? He left it. What does that bring to your life? Death. I don't know how I can leave it. Now, how can I leave the church system of man? Oh, that's easy. Once your eyes are open, it's easy. But to leave God? I can't even figure that one. Can't even figure that one. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. Now, if I'm not mistaken, the law of Moses says very clearly that you won't marry someone outside of your belief. Doesn't it? That doesn't mean race, interracial marriages or anything like that. It's only talking about the faith. He said, don't marry anyone except your own kind. He was talking about Jewish people that believed in God, not all the false gods. Okay? So they went and married them people out of the flesh, didn't they? And when my thinking process, well, hear me, when my thinking process, that's the fruit of Elimelech, when my thinking process marries someone out of the flesh from Moab, what's going to happen? Huh? Notice what happened here. They were married, and it said they dwelt there how many years? 10's the law of the flesh, they're going to bind you up. And notice, in 10 years, neither one of them had something. They had no fruit. You think that's a coincidence? That they married the fleshly thinking with the Spirit of God? And what did they bring forth? Nothing. That's exactly what your churches has brought forth today. Nothing. It's exactly what I bring forth if I try to marry my man, Christ, into the flesh realm. Try to find me a soulish woman that'll meet my needs. See, that'll agree with me up here. Controversy's great. It's great. Whew. Oh God, help us. But the name of one was Orpah. Okay? Her name means the neck or the skull. Stiff-necked or hard-headed, which way you want it. Okay? That's what it means. And the name of the other was Ruth. And that means a friend. Okay? And they dwelled there about 10 years, which is the law of the flesh. You know, they bind you up and there's no fruit. And Mahlon and Chilion died. See, it won't even last. That'll tickle you plumb pink. Even when you screw up and try to marry some of this Moab stuff, this fleshly stuff, to your spiritual self, to your Christ, bless God, it's going to die. There's an end to it. See, there's an end to it. So even all the ones out here that's trying to make something happen, it's not going to happen. It's going to pass away because God's purposes will prevail. Right? Okay. And the woman was always left and her two daughter-in-laws, right? So then they arose that she might return from the country of Moab. So she says, I'm going to give up the flesh. How about that? Somewhere in your life, your soul is going to say, this ain't cutting it. Your soul is going to say, I've lived in this flesh too long, and it's about time that I go back to where my nativity is, my place of birth. We're not talking in the natural, see, because our beginning was not in the flesh. Our beginning was in God. From the very beginning, we were in Him. And sometime, sooner or later, our soul is going to say, it's time to go back home, where I started with my Father. Go back to the place of beginnings. Because she had heard in the country of Moab, now see, even over in the flesh, they hear what's going on in the spirit. It usually causes jealousy, but but even in the flesh, you're going to get this, you're going to hear it. In there, in the kingdom, there's a blessing. I'm going back to my Father's house. What did the man say in Luke 15? The man who was called the prodigal son, he come to himself when he was in the pig pen eating the corn husks, the waste and the throwaway from the grain. He said, even in my Father's house, the servants have plenty. Okay? If he'd have been a servant to start with to his father, he'd have had the throne, wouldn't he? See? You want a true leader? Find you a servant. He'll make you leader. That's by the book. How that the Lord had visited the people in giving them what? Food. Bread. Spiritual word. See, you stay in the house of God, how could you possibly not hear something of God? See, we're not talking about, quote, church building, church organization. We're talking about the house of God. Where is that? It's within you. It's your spirit. See, if I remain in Bethlehem, Judah, here, the house with the bread in it, did He not write in your heart before the foundation of the world? Did He not place it within you? Did He not choose you as sons and daughters? Did He not choose to be your God? Did He not choose to forgive your sins and iniquities and remember them no more? Well, that's where you remain. That's where your food comes from. So I'm not leaving. I'm staying there. I'm staying there. And when she went forth out of the place where she was, out of the flesh, her two daughter-in-laws, they come out of the flesh. Now notice, two. There's my tabernacle. See, there was how many to start with? But there's only two. This story's going to go into two now. It's the pattern from the Old Testament to the New Testament. We're changing over. And she went forth and her two daughter-in-laws with her, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah, or the land of celebration. See? Something deep within your spirit. I'm not talking about your flesh or your soul, but I'm talking about your spirit. Deep within your woman in here, there's the desire to go home. I don't care what life you're living. I don't care what you've been through. There's something inside of you that's drawing you back to Him. And when everything else fails in Moab in the flesh, you're going to say, there's even the servants in my Father's house have plenty. Something in here is going to drag you right back to where you began, to your Father's house. You are not going to get away. That ought to make you happy. I can see reconciliation all through here. Oh my God. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, go return to your mother's house. She's talking natural, soulish things here. That's flesh talking. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and me. All she's concerned about is the fleshly things. You treated my sons and my husband well. You did good, my daughters. Go on and do what you want to do. Don't buy that one. Orpah did. Don't be an Orpah. Hear me? Don't be an Orpah. Place of the skull. Remember, hard head, stiff neck. Don't be there. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in what? Now, she just told him to go back to the flesh, to Moab, didn't she? But she turned around and gave them the right of redemption. She said, may you find rest in who? Where? In the house of your husband. Well, I'm going to tell you what, the house of your husband isn't in Moab. See, because them boys came from where? Bethlehem, Judah. We're talking about the sons of God. So see, she was passing this right of redemption to all of them. God's jubilee is for who?
All.
For all. That's what jubilee is about. All being redeemed. All coming back to you. Whatever's been stolen, whatever's been misused or mishandled, it still comes back to you because it was yours from the very beginning. It comes back to you. I'm going to get up here in a minute. Then she kissed them. Okay? That shows intimacy, relationship. And they lift their voice and wept. But you know what? This intimacy is still soulish. It's still soulish. It's in emotions is what it's wrapped up in. That's the problem. It's not about emotions. Do you believe for 1 minute that if Jesus was caught up in the soulish realm of emotions, that when they took Him prisoner and began to question Him and to judge Him and to beat Him with the whips and put the crown of thorns on His head and jab it down into His mind. See, they were trying to curse the mind of Christ. They were trying everything to destroy Him. If He was in the soulish realm, do you believe He could have stood up and put that big old heavy tree on Him and carried it up that hill? His emotions would have gave out. Because your emotions will never carry you to the kingdom of God. They never will. Emotions are fine. God had emotions. Didn't Jesus weep? Is weeping an emotion? See, it's okay to have emotions, but those emotions never deterred Him from His course. You have got to have a vision from God in your life where you're going to, and everything else is sent by God to try to derail you. Hear me. God's trying to derail you. He wants to show you how much guts that you have. How much intestinal fortitude do you have? I don't care what they say about me. I don't care what they do to me. I don't care if they spit on me or throw rocks at me. So what? I got a course. And I'm going. That's what God's wanting to know what's in her heart today. He knows, but do you know? How much intestinal fortitude do you have? Because He's going to try to derail you. Don't be blaming no devil. Because God's in control of the whole thing. He's not like some mad scientist that created something that got out of control. God is controlling everything. And He's trying to show you. And if He gets you derailed, guess what? The book says in Proverbs that a righteous man will fall 7 times, but God will pick him back up. See, it's okay to be derailed as long as you get back on the road. See, if you turn away from the road, God's going to throw enough fire out there that you'll turn and come back to the road. It's okay. It's all right. I see in this right here as Passover. I see the Passover experience. They're having this shallow relationship that she had. In verse 10 she said, surely we will return with you unto your people. And Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons or sons that they may be husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way because I'm too old to have a husband. And this is what your soul will do to you. She'll make all kinds of excuses. See? She'll make all kinds of excuses. Talk you into going back. You're better off back out there in your thinking. It's better out there. It's easier. Oh, yeah, it's easier for the time. It's easier for a season. So he said, should I have hope of having a husband tonight and bear sons? Would you tarry with them? Would you tarry for them until they were grown? Would you stay or would you refrain from marriage for them from having husbands? What was her answer? See, that's what your soul will do for you. She'll answer for you. Oh, she will. She'll talk to you. Tell you all kinds of things, won't she? Ah, you wouldn't wait. You know you wouldn't. See, she thinks she knows you better than you do. My daughters, said, no, my daughters, because it grieves or embitters me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Look at this. Me, 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 me. Oh, God's done bad things to me. Oh, big pity party. It's starting. See, and that's the way it starts. Now look how smooth she was with bringing this pity party about. She didn't get real big about it. She says, oh, it embitters me. Oh, it grieves me for your sakes that the Lord's done this to me. Slipped it in there, didn't she? See, she's real slick. That soul will pull things on you. She will connive and slip words on you. Oh, she's having the pity party, but she says, oh, it grieves me for your sake. She's just looking for an excuse to start telling you all the things that went on. See? That's all. And they lift up their voice and wept again. See what emotions do to you? They get you right in there. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Now, there's a powerful meaning in this word kissed. It can mean the word kissed, but there's something else. It also means equipped with weapons. Equipped with weapons? How would that meaning fit in here? You want me to tell you? See, when you have that intimacy with Orpah, which is the outer court, the dust covenant, the flesh, guess what? She will equip you with bitterness, hurt, rejection. Aren't those weapons? Oh, they're weapons, all right. They're carnal weapons, but they're yet weapons. If we have this relationship with that fleshly realm, that's what it'll do with us. But Ruth clave unto her. Now, this word clave doesn't give you the true meaning. It literally says, Ruth was caused to be joined to her. Whose purpose was that? Huh? Wasn't that the Father's purpose? See, she was caused to be joined to her. Did she have a choice? God put it in her heart. And she said, this is Naomi speaking, behold, your sister is gone back to her people. And see, in verse 8, she gave her the right to go. She told her to go. How many of us have had the word in our head, just go ahead and leave. Don't make any difference. You can do anything you want to. In all of our relationships, we hear those things. Come on. Let's just be real about it. We all hear that voice in our head telling us to do things that's not right. Tells us to leave our relationships with people in our jobs, within our families, within everything. See? That's the easy way. It's the easy way. Just get up and walk out. That's the easy way. But you know what? The tough way is dig a trench and say, I'm not going. This is my territory. God has given me everything that's passed beneath my feet, and I will not give it up. Do you hear me? I'll take the inheritance that He gave me. I won't give it up. Don't have to do anything anybody tells me, and this is not rebellion. If anybody hears rebellion, it's because their heart's full of rebellion. I'm just claiming the inheritance that my Father gave me. I don't have to give up anything. It's mine. He gave it to me. He said, I've given you all power in heaven and earth. I don't have to give it up. And I can make the decisions by His heart that He gave me, by His mind. I don't have to back down from that. Come on. And then they can call you rebel all they want to. I don't care. Doesn't make any difference. But she says, your sister's gone back to her gods and her people. Return you after your sister-in-law. Now here's the heart of God in the woman, the mature woman that's going to have the intimate relationship with her man. Now see, the first two didn't have no intimate relationship. Orpah and Naomi, surface, dust and sand, Passover, Pentecost. And Ruth said, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from following after you, because wherever you go, I will go. And where you lodge, that's where I'm going to lodge. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. Where you die, will I die, and there will I be buried. For the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death part, me and you. Oh man, I see a covenant in this thing. See, and there's got to come a place in my life where my woman inside of me says to my man inside of me, wherever you go, I'm going. I got a covenant with you. And just because of circumstances in my life, it will not nullify the covenant that I have made. God is a God of covenants. And when He makes a covenant, it means what He said. And He will not disannul any covenant. The covenant He made in the sand, the dust to Abram is as viable today as it was in the day that He spoke it to him. And there's people that's going to live in that covenant. That's okay. That's where God destined them to be. And when He made the covenant in the sand, that's okay. That was a greater covenant, but it did not disannul the dust covenant. It made it greater. It built upon that and got greater. And when He came to the star covenant with Abraham, because he was no longer Abram now, he was Abraham. And He said, your descendants will be more numerous than the stars of the sky. See, He was building it and making it greater, but guess what? It was getting fewer in number. God can do more with less. It's amazing. He can do more with less. But I see Passover all through this. The true covenant is made in Passover. Okay? If you understand what a covenant is, covenant, let's go back to when Abraham made a covenant with God. He slayed certain amount of animals and he cut them in half, separated them, and walked between them. See, that's how they passed their covenant. They made a covenant by walking between the flesh, separating the flesh. Now, look what happened here, this word. He said, let him, if anything but death part you, that word part is separate. See? That's telling me they made a covenant. But they're not going to be separated any longer. The covenant brings you together. Okay? The flesh dying, being separated, brings you together in covenant. And when she saw that she was steadfast-minded to go with her, then she ceased speaking to her. See? When your woman realizes, hello, when your woman realizes inside of you that you ain't buying it no more. You're not going to convince me of my direction. Your direction should never come from your soul. It should always come from your spirit, never from your soul. So I'm not going to get my direction from Naomi. She can't give it to me. See? And the best thing Naomi can do is realize she might as well shut up and leave me alone because I'm not going there. And you've got to come to that in your life and realize that you can talk to your Naomi and say, I am not listening to you because I know where your course is. You came from Bethlehem, Judah, and you will return to Bethlehem, Judah. And I'm going there too. So you shut up because I'm going. It said because she was steadfastly minded, she let them know, I'm going. You can't change my course. Do you hear me? You got to let people know, I ain't changing my course. I don't care what you do. That's all right. Don't change your course. Your woman could be named Phil today. Okay? It's all right.
I don't think we're talking about the right thing.
Okay, verse 19. So the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem, the house of bread. And see, when you have a desire in your heart that I am not going to accept anything less than the Father's house, the Father's supply, His word, guess what? You'll come to the house of bread. And His supply will be everything you need. But you got to get it yourself. You got to come to a place where you know that it's in Father's house that I get it. We're not talking about this building we're standing in. Your supply, your storehouse is within you. It's within you. Not within me. My storehouse is in here. Your storehouse is in you. God wrote it in your heart before the foundation of the world. True or false? Then guess where the Word of God is? I might have a little better revelation than some, but you still got it in you. Everything that I've got, everything He's got is written in our hearts. He said He poured out His Spirit without measure upon His sons. So what are we lacking? Just intellect to understand it. See, we don't understand all that God has given us. But it's still there. Just because I don't understand it doesn't mean God lied. It means I don't understand. And when we don't understand, we want to blame God for not giving me something. He didn't do it. I just don't understand yet. That's not condemnation. That's just the truth. We don't understand what God's doing in our lives. It came to pass that when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city moved about them, or the whole house of bread heard about them, okay? Or was excited over them. They were moved over them. And they said, is this Naomi? You know what? She'd been in flesh for a long time. And I'd just be willing to bet that she took on a lot of characteristics of the flesh. And when we deal with our woman in the land of flesh, you know what? A lot of that stuff hangs on us. That old dust and sand just get all over you. And these people were saying, is that Naomi? I don't think they were saying, oh, it's Naomi. They're saying, is that Naomi? Is God, we thought she was dead. She'd been under the law so long, we thought she was dead. They couldn't believe that she went back to that flesh and she was still around. But see, again, there's the seed. And there's the promise to the seed. And see, the seed cannot be stopped, no matter where it goes. And it said, God scattered the tribes to the nations. He put us out there. It's part of our testing. It's okay to have all these problems. It's okay to have these mistakes. Just don't stay in them. Do you hear me? Just don't stay in them. It's okay. It's okay. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi. Don't call me Pleasant no more. Call me Mara. That means bitter. Because the Lord has dealt very bitterly with me. Does that sound like murmuring to you? You know why she can murmur? Because in all of her testing, she lost something. She lost her identity. She didn't know who she was. She believed what her mind told her, that she was a bad person because of all the hard things that come against her. God has dealt very bitterly with me. That's what the mind does. It justifies. And justifying is just a lying, isn't it? And our mind will tell us we've been so bad. I've been under the law so long out there in Moab, in the flesh. I can't do this anymore. I'll just lay down and die. I'll just wait out my time to die. And see, that's what the soul has done to the church today. That's what the church has done to most of their people today. They're just waiting to die so some rapture bus can come out of the sky and pick them up and take them back up. And don't tell me it's any different from that crazy bunch out there in California that was waiting on a spaceship. Because it's no different. They just got a different tag hanging on it. It's the same idea. I'm waiting to die so I can fly. Same thing. I don't care what anybody says. It's the same thing. They're waiting to escape. And God put us down here to overcome this life, to walk through this life, and to grow and to mature into the sons of God. Not to fly away from anything, not to escape anything. That's foolishness. Look at her complaint here. Now notice these words, because I'm going to put emphasis on the words as I read it. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me back home empty. Poor me. Why then call you me pleasant, or Naomi, seeing that the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted or broken me? I, me, my, wah. That's exactly what it is. See, having a little pity party for herself. And this is the ego of man that's within each one of us. And we all ride the same wagon if we don't watch it. If our ears aren't open to hear from the Spirit, we'll do the same thing. This is what God's trying to show us in this. He's not trying to put us in classifications. He's trying to show us the heart of man is desperately wicked and evil above all things. We've got to come away from our own thinking and come into the thinking of God, putting on the mind of Christ. So Naomi returned. See, the pleasant woman returned. And Ruth, the Moabitess. And see, they're even still calling her a fleshly woman, aren't they? Her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of what? Barley harvest represents Pentecost. They were coming out of Passover. They were coming to Pentecost. And Ruth, even though she was the friend of God, she's still in the flesh. And this shows you that your woman is in a process of being refined. She started in Moab, but she's heading for Bethlehem, Judah, in the time of barley harvest. And this is the beginning of barley harvest. This is the beginning, the baptism of the Spirit, beginning to walk into Pentecost. Just a start. Just a start. So hang on. We got a ride to take. Oh my goodness. What a ride. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning. This word beginning is not the same as the word beginning back there in the beginning. Genesis 1:1 where it says in the beginning, that's first fruit, that's Reshith. This is a word that's pronounced Tekchila. Okay? And it literally means beginning of time. See, a beginning time doesn't mean that first fruit thing. So at the very beginning of first fruit. And know this. Ruth never had a choice. Did she? Because it said she was caused to cleave unto Naomi. Did she have a choice? I think God was the one that caused her to cleave unto Naomi. Okay? So guess what this tells me? Ruth is first fruit. It's third day. It's Mount Zion. It's tabernacles. It's all these things. It's different words. Same thing. Okay? Now, it tells me exactly as the pattern shows that first fruit was hand-gathered by the priest. Father chose us before the foundation of the world. It's not a choice. You can't choose to be anything. You can only be who you be, already chosen to be. Do you hear me? What God has chosen you to be, that's what you'll be. You can't do anything. If I am chosen to be first fruit, if I'm anything else, I'm a hypocrite. Do you hear me? If I'm chosen to be Passover and I try to be Pentecost, I'm a hypocrite. If I'm chosen to be Pentecost and I try to go into tabernacles, I'm a hypocrite because I'm trying to be something I'm not. Didn't Paul say, whatever lot you're chosen to be in, be content therewith? I got to live wherever God puts me. I can't choose the comfort zone. But that's what the church wants to do. Because they all say, make a choice. Only choice I can make is yea and amen. I agree with whatever Father wants out of me. Oh, huh? Oh, I thought you had something for me. Oh. You know what? I hope I turned that on. I don't know if I did or not. I think I did. Then I'll preach it again. It's not a labor.
It turned over.
Huh?
It turned over.
Oh, did it? Okay. Well, good. Okay. Because you know what? Oh, I get excited about that book. There's so much life in that book. And I can see it through all the pages, through all these words. It's the same thing. I don't have a choice.
I've read it 5 times and I've never seen
that. Huh?
I read it 5 times and I've never seen that.
God has birthed things in my spirit and I can just see the God, He's got it all figured out. I don't have to fight it anymore. I can just relax. What peace is in this? God's in control. What song we sang? He's victorious. He's already won the battle. Well, then what am I sharpening the sword for? What am I preparing for battle for? Oh, jeez. Oh. Oh, my God. Well, they can talk about resurrection someday, but I believe I'm walking in it right now. I'm sorry, I'm just lit like a Roman candle right now. Well, I'm going to turn this thing off.